Biden's desperate for a new Iran deal, and energy policy could soon be used to limit our freedom. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day and lots of laughs, too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast. We like to get right into it. And what we're going to get into today is, you probably already know this, Joe Biden's beyond tone deaf inflation party. I mean, why would you have an inflation party? First of all, before we explain exactly what this is, Tuesday was a really bad day for the American economy and thus for Americans. You know, there have been hopes that inflation might be abating. And with all these hopes, there was this idea that the Commerce Department report, the Bureau of Labor Statistics report that was going to come out, would show inflation going down. What instead the report showed was that prices remain persistently high. And something known as core inflation actually rose in August. So just to tell you the story, I'll read from the Wall Street Journal. Quote, the consumer price index rose 8.3% in August from the same month a year ago, down from 8.5% in July and from 9.1% in June, which was the highest inflation rate in four decades. Okay, so that's good, right? Gone from 9.1 to 8.5 to 8.3. But continuing with the Wall Street Journal, so-called core CPI, which excludes energy and food prices. Obviously, energy and food prices kind of volatile. Core CPI excludes energy and food prices, increased 6.3% in August from a year earlier, up markedly from the 5.9% rate in both June and July, a signal that broad price pressures strengthened. Investors and policymakers follow core inflation closely as a reflection of broad underlying inflation, and as a predictor of future inflation. Okay, so this is not good news. This is bad news on the inflation front. And everybody was hoping for good news on the inflation front. And Democrats, you know, politically were counting on good news from the inflation front. But it wasn't good news. It was bad news. It was particularly bad news, by the way, for Americans who need to eat in order to live. Now, you may be one of those. I am. But if you are an American who needs to eat in order to live, it was a bad day. The Bureau of Labor Statistics report showed that the price of dairy products was up 16.2% over last year. The price of meat, poultry, fish, and eggs was up 10.6% over the same month last year. Cereals and bakery products were up 16.4%. Fruits and vegetables, 9.4%. Non-alcoholic beverages, 13.4%. And other grocery items that didn't fit into any of those categories altogether were up 16.7%. All right, so this is really bad. This is a lot of inflation at the grocery store. So as a result of this bad news on inflation, Wall Street just had a meltdown. The Dow Jones Industrial Average plummeted 1,276 points. That's down 3.94%, a little under 4% down. The NASDAQ, which is heavy with tech stocks, fell 5.16%, a little over 5%. If you have a 401k, you either didn't look at it because you just couldn't bear it, or you did look at it and you got unhappy. And then, whatever you did, you asked, when is this going to end? How bad are things going to get? Now, as all this was happening, and it was, you know, it was dominating the news of the day, there was nothing bigger that was happening, unless you're in England, looking at the Queen's funeral. It was nothing bigger that was happening. This was the thing. And as this was happening, President Joe Biden was throwing a party at the White House. Big outdoor bash, hundreds of guests, happiness all around, music. James Taylor was there for some reason. The purpose of the party was to celebrate. It was a celebration. It was to celebrate the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act, which was, as you know, not really an Inflation Reduction Act. It was the climate and healthcare spending bill the Democrats passed last month. It's the one they passed when Senator Joe Manchin, who had been the roadblock to passing these huge spending bills, because he said he was worried about inflation. Well, he finally got on board for this one. Climate spending, healthcare spending, and they called it the Inflation Reduction Act. Now, it did not reduce inflation. Even if you look at the Democratic promises, it wouldn't do anything for a few years, but it's not going to reduce inflation. And by the way, it was completely outbalanced by what Biden did shortly thereafter, forgiving a lot of student loans. Anyway, Democrats decided to call it the Inflation Reduction Act. I mean, it could have been, I don't know, a Water Pollution Act. It could have been anything, but they decided to call it the Inflation Reduction Act to give the impression that they were acting on the public's number one concern. So, big party. Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, is there. So is Charles Schumer, Senate Majority Leader. I mean, they are in high spirits. They're laughing, they're joking, they're clapping, they're happy to be there. So Pelosi says, "What a thrill it is to be here to celebrate this life-changing legislation, the Inflation Reduction Act." I mean, she really liked the way that sounded. She said it again. She said, "Inflation Reduction Act, so beautifully named." Now, that was a nice touch. So beautifully named. It was obviously misleadingly named, but she said, "so beautifully named." Now, that was her way, Nancy Pelosi's way, of doubling down against critics who pointed out the bill will not reduce inflation. You think we're going to run away from the name just because it's misleading? Not a chance. In fact, it's a beautiful name. Now, does that remind you of anybody? The former president, Donald Trump, would say things like that. If he was under criticism for something, he would pronounce it beautiful and double down on supporting whatever it was that the critics were attacking. Well, Nancy Pelosi is doing the same thing. It's so beautifully named, the Inflation Reduction Act, even though it does not reduce inflation. And if you're irritated about it, forget it. She's just going to say it's a beautiful, beautiful name. So Pelosi comes out, speaks, Schumer speaks, and they introduce the president. So when Biden walks out, the president of the United States walks out, comes out with Vice President Kamala Harris and a third person, a woman named Lavette Jacobs. Now, the White House identified her as a fifth-year International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 103, electrical apprentice and member of the Electrical Workers Minority Caucus and Women's Caucus. So she's a union member and kind of an activist union member. And you have to remember, it's just a reminder, with Joe Biden, there is always a union involved. Always. Because the president declares, as he did at this party and as he always does, that he's going to create good-paying union jobs. This bill or that bill will create good-paying union jobs. And then those well-paid union workers will pay dues, and then part of that will be sent to the Democratic Party in the form of political contributions. Okay. So anyway, that's why Ms. Jacobs was there. She was there to represent the IBEW, really to represent organized labor, for Joe Biden to say, hey, we're with you. But here's the thing. On the day that inflation proved beyond any doubt that it is a terrible problem likely to plague Americans for a long time to come, on this day that Democrats were celebrating a bill they called the Inflation Reduction Act, so beautifully named, President Biden said not a word about the day's news about inflation. He just claimed that the bill would reduce inflation, even as his own Bureau of Labor Statistics sent out word that it had not, the bill wouldn't do it yet, it's not really in effect, but that the problem was getting worse. It was bad news on inflation. Now, all of this, Senator Kevin Cramer, the Republican, said on Fox Business that this was, quote, beyond tone deaf. So that's where we got beyond tone deaf. A lot of Republicans were saying it was tone deaf, and boy, was it tone deaf. But the day was important. Now, we can say this is, you know, crazy. They're having a party. What's James Taylor doing there? They're all just high-fiving each other, and the economy is just collapsing, you know, all around them. But this day was important beyond just the awkwardness that we've been talking about. In fact, this day which was Tuesday, September 13th, might mark a turning point of sorts, in the fight for control of Washington. And we're going to explain that next.
President Biden's desperate for a new Iran deal. Ranked choice voting in Alaska makes the fourth place finisher the winner. And energy policy could soon be used to limit our freedom. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day for conservatives, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Join us. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I said I was going to talk about how Tuesday, September 13th, might be a turning point in the fight for control of Washington. First, I wanted to say, if you've been listening to the podcast, enjoying it, hopefully even learning something from it, it would be great if you could subscribe to the podcast. Really easy to do. Do it at iTunes, anywhere you get your podcast, and you'll really like it. So do it. I'm sure you've heard this before, but go do it now. Okay. So is Tuesday some sort of turning point? In this sense, for more than a month, we have heard about growing optimism among Democrats. They were all afraid they're just going to get slaughtered in the midterm elections. And then they started thinking, maybe we're not going to lose big, as everybody was thinking. Maybe we'll do better. Maybe we'll even keep control of the Senate. Maybe even the House. Maybe both. So we've been hearing Joe Biden's job approval rating is going up. The generic ballot is close, or Democrats are moving ahead. Things are better. Maybe this midterms is going to it's going to defy historical precedent and be really good for us. Maybe so. Now, they thought Democrats did. They thought they had three things going for them. First, they assumed that inflation would go down and that it would therefore diminish in importance to American voters. The second thing is they thought they could use the Supreme Court's abortion decision against Republican opponents, which they're certainly going to try to do and might succeed in some places. And third, they hope to make Donald Trump, who is unpopular with many voters, a key focus of the campaign now that he has been, he's sort of under pursuit by the Biden Justice Department. So assume inflation is going to go down, use abortion, use Trump. That was the new plan. But what happened on Tuesday, the reason that it could be a turning point. What happened on Tuesday was that even as President Biden and top Democrats were partying, having the big party outdoors at the White House, inflation and the economy as issues came roaring back. Okay, the Democratic happy talk became a lot less happy as it became clear that inflation not only is but remains the American public's most worrisome problem. So even if the partiers on the White House lawn do not want to admit it, what we saw at the White House party was it happened to be held the day that inflation and the economy came roaring back as the voters' number one concern, and the realization that they always were. So that's what we wanted to talk about. It was pretty simple today, but it was an extraordinary show at the White House. Don't know if you saw much of it, but really an extraordinary show. President Biden, his party members, party leaders, Pelosi, Schumer, they were all very, very happy, even as inflation was raging and the stock market was just melting down. Big party day. So thanks for listening. Always appreciate it when you can join us. Hope you can join us again soon for another edition of The Byron York Show.